Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome back to Law Crimes with Fantasy Fireside. And today, because it is the Christmas time of that year, it is the snowy month, it is the festive season, we're doing something a little bit special this episode. Colin, what are we talking about today?
Kislev.
Kislev. Just Kislev.
That, you know.
it's just Kislev. Oh, they have bear cavalry. What do you mean, just Kislev?
No, that's there is context to that, believe it or not. That was their only total war diplomacy line for like 5 years.
Wow.
Because they weren't a proper faction until 3. So you'd click on them and they would just go Kislev.
Kislev.
And that was it. That was the diplomacy with them. Thanks for coming.
Wow. Wow. I mean, they're a major faction. I mean, they're in the trailer for Total War. They've got to be somewhat important, or are they just kind of, they're on the doorstep to hell. That makes them important-ish, but they're not like a proper art. Like, what's their deal?
I for a bit of meta history, if I'm remembering correctly, they used to be, like, you could have a Kislev army, both in, I believe there was like a way to do it in the Empire army book. Like they were like a variant army formation, kind of almost like chapters. Mm-hmm. Like you can take different chapters for rules, but they're still Marines.
Okay.
I believe it was something like that. And then there was actually, I think it was called Warmaster. Much indeed, you know, like the Horus one. But this was like, this was Warhammer Fantasy's version of, you know, Epic.
Okay.
Where it's like the minis are a lot smaller, but that means you can get like an army of 10,000 dudes on the table, right?
You don't have to spend a grand for a Titan. You can buy it for £50. Like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I believe they were they were their own fellows in that one.
Okay.
They had a good amount of minis, at least compared to their proper 8th edition army, which was zero minis, so.
And that was called Warmaster. Interesting.
It was.
Well, so all I know about Kislev is they live in the snow. They are right next to like where the portal to hell is for chaos. They're like the first line of defense. There's a lady. There's bear cavalry. And there's a man with a beard who in the trailer for Total War pulls a sword out of the thing and goes, "Rawr!" And that's all I know about Kislev. So I'm excited to learn more. But on that note, where does one start with Kislev? Do they have a long history? Do they have an interesting, like, where are we going to begin this one?
They actually do have a decently long history. It's in terms of years, it's kind of comparative to the Empire. It's nothing like, you know, the elves and the dwarfs and all that, you know, the elder races as they're called, but they go back a fair ways. They're not a new nation. We'll get into it.
Okay.
So go back as far as we can, right? You've got the Empire, right? Which, before Sigmar was just different tribes of German barbarians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to the northeast, go to, as you will surely notice, it is, what this place is. You go to fantasy Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We find a tribe called the, Gospodar. I'm going to call them Godspodar at least once. I have the same little brain worm I do with Barabbas Antioch, where I keep calling him Barbarous Antioch. That's not right, but I do that with these guys too. Mm. So Gospodar, though, they were one of the early tribes of man that were in the region, while Sigmar was uniting all of the German tribes in what would become the Empire of Man. He was going around doing that. And at one point, I've called them the wrong name. Ungol. I was looking at the wrong, I skipped ahead a bit
Ungol,
in terms of the names. This proto-Kislev tribe is the Ungol tribe.
Okay.
Everything I've just said is still valid, but they're called the Ungol. But while Sigmar was uniting the empire, that led him into fighting one of the proto-human tribes. Not proto-human, proto-empire tribes. They were a little bit too fond of chaos, you know? A little bit too demon worshipy for Sigmar's taste.
Mm.
So he drove them out, and this ended up driving them towards Ungol territory, who, you know, they don't much like chaos either. So they were like, "Hey, Sigmar, you want to double team these bozos?" Which, you know, Sigmar agreed because he's like, "Kill chaos with each of you. Don't mind if I do."
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they did that, and this was a little bit into Sigmar getting everyone together, and the Ungol people and Sigmar and their realm, they made a promise to if the other is invaded, well, we'll help each other out. Sigmar wasn't getting them into his group. They were a little far away, but they were like, "Hey, you're cool. We're cool. If we ever need help, we can help each other out." And, so that was the start of the alliance between these two realms.
Mm-hmm.
The poor Ungols, however, they did have about 1,500 years of just kind of chilling, you know. But come just before the year 1,500 in the imperial calendar, that's when the Gospodar show up. I messed up. That's okay. Now they're here. Now it's Gospodar.
Okay.
These fellas were another tribe that was a little bit more generally wealthy, well-equipped, and, as it is fitting, magical than the Ungol. They showed up from the farther eastern region of the world, fleeing from away from Chaos Waste as it was kind of expanding a little bit. So they were just running away, led by a very fine queen named Miska the Slaughterer.
Ooh, that's a fun title. What do you do? What are you known for? Slaughtering, I guess.
Take a guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was united her own little tribes, and then they all just went west and decided that the lands of the Ungol were as good of a region as any to settle down. The Ungol, they tried to fight them back, right? They were like, "Hey, this is my house. What the hell?" But as I said, Miska the Slaughterer was one of the, I believe, the first of the Ice Witches and whatnot.
Yeah, she wasn't Miska the diplomat or Miska the negotiator, the slaughterer.
Yeah, so she's not Obi-Wan. She's not here to play nice.
Mm.
So she invades and fairly, with minimal difficulty relative to how much land they conquered, just kind of takes over the region. The Ungol did try and call in that bargain before, and it wasn't like, you know, the Empire, every now and again, the Empire would have responded, because, you know, they're like, Kislev's being invaded, or the Ungols are being invaded, we should help them out.
Mm-hmm.
But this was during one of the periods where the Empire is having a little bit of a civil war. It does that fairly frequently, so they were not really in a position to go help out.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, eventually, the Gospodar did try and invade the Empire, which didn't work out for them. You know, they were able to push back them, which the Empire then made another treaty with the Gospodar. And it was around this point that the nation proper, now it is called Kislev, would begin to form. They had built themselves over the ruins of a destroyed Ungol city, the city of Kislev. And then they just eventually named the whole kingdom after it.
So when the in very vague terms with the timeline. So this is well after we've had the elves, we've had the dwarves, we've had the lizardmen, we've had a lot of species already lay claim to a lot of the world. And Kislev, are they kind of like a late runner of like, oh, they've been around, but they're kind of newish? Or like, can you give us like a vague indication of where they sit in the timeline?
In terms of being an actual country, they were a good few, like, thousand years, like, honestly, I think actually they were just like, if we're taking the end times, they were just over 1,000 years before the end times was formed.
Okay.
Which happens 25 years after the empire is founded and several more 1,000 years, like after the dwarves and the elves all had their empire. Mm. The Tomb Kings are all skeletons by this point.
Yeah.
Cathay's being Cathay out there. Yeah. It's most of the other, like, you know, nations that were going to pop up, ignoring whatever random border kingdoms, fiefdom, that doesn't matter at all. Most, like, all the other nations are just about here.
Hmm.
So, you know, now we do have Kislev. There was some problems. Again, these two different tribes didn't much like each other at first, what with the second one kind of coming in and rampaging all over the place and just planted flags down.
Yeah. Tribes in history have always been a bit not good with each other, hence tribalism. It's like poetry, they rhyme. It's like the modern day.
And they would...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I mean, it's kind of a simple thing. So over the 1,000 years, the two tribes would eventually start coming together. And eventually it did get to a point where they were kind of all like, yeah, we're a Kislevite, you know, first and foremost. And then they'd be like, I come from a long Ungol line or a Gospodar line.
Hmm.
But keep in mind that did take about 1,000 years for that attitude to properly, like, you know, set in.
Yeah.
Up to that, there's not too much to say on it. If for no other reason than you could sum it up pretty easily as took 1,000 years for the ethnic infighting to kind of calm down a little bit.
Just 1,000. Yeah. Yeah. Several generations of people hating their forefathers, enemies, even though they've never met them. Like, yeah, amazing. Great.
Yeah. And, you know, their kids hate each other just a little bit less and, you know, on and on for a millennia.
Mm.
What would also happen is that the Ungol would kind of end up inhabiting over the northern parts of Kislev, and the Gospodar would kind of set up shop in, like, the southern parts of the nation.
Okay.
So they would... Part of what probably also helped them not hate each other was they just agreed to live in different parts of the country.
You go over there, we'll stay over here, and don't come near me ever again. Cool.
Yeah. and, you know, it was this, again, I do want to say it, things did get better. Like, you know, come the modern day of the setting, that Katarin lady, she started for a while, like, you know, only the leadership positions were all Gospodar, but Katarin's a cool gal. She was like, some of these Ungol are pretty cool. Why don't they can be in charge of places? Why not? So, yeah, you know, so that's, and we got Kislev. It's semi-dynamic, but also kind of not.
Okay.
It's, here, I'll show what I mean by that. Here is a map that came out with the release of the Old World. I'll send this just to you for some reference, right?
Okay. So I'm seeing a bear with an axe, a big old lion, a corgi, and like bear claw, and another frowny face bear. Two frowny face bears. Okay.
And frowny ogres. Face bears.
I think that's
okay. And ogres.
Yeah.
Ogres are greed skids. You know, yeah. One, it's. What I meant by, like, you know, they kind of expand or do they not, like, this was at the height of Kislev's territorial expansion, because they did for a little bit. Ooh, pardon me. They had a pretty decent empire for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of mountains and cold regions, but they got far enough. They were kind of pushing into Norska for a little bit. And if you look close on that map at the rightmost edge, you can see something called the Dark Citadel.
Yeah.
Kislev was kind of outside the Chaos Dwarf tent pissing in for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, opposite side, I like there's just a bit that says troll country. Like, wow, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
It is what it is.
And there's also a lot of skull and crossbones everywhere throughout the mountains. It's like skull, 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 skull.
Yeah, those are the World's Edge mountains. They kind of suck.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not great. We got Kislev now. It would expand, it would shrink. This was, like I said, the greatest extent of their territory come modern Warhammer Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
There was definitely less Kislev than there was before, but probably makes it a little easier to defend when you don't got to worry about too much chaos going all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Now we get Kislev.
Cool.
Pardon me. So, going forward, again, things were good, and by this point, the other firm thing Kislev has established itself as is, as you mentioned, they are the first line of defense that chaos bulldozes into.
Yeah.
Whenever it's time for another Ever Chosen to take a crack at the world. For example, there are mostly the country, the little empire province of Nordland. It's Northland, the northmost one. Probably gets more Norskan raiders than anywhere else. But they have to cross, you know, it's called the Sea of Claws. They got to cross that if they want to get to Nordland, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if, you know, the Norskans are Vikings. So even then, they're good at sailing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a thing, they still, you know, you got to build the boat. You got to get enough people together with you to sail it. You got to make your way back then.
And I'm assuming it mimics real life Vikings, where the land's very difficult to grow things on, so they resorted to raiding and pillaging a lot because it was like, oh, this place sucks to cultivate. We'll just go to another country and nick their stuff because we're really hardy people. We're good at fighting. We're good at sailing. And then we'll just take the stuff we need and we'll do it to survive. Like, oh, okay. Got to make friends that way, aren't you?
But it's so, yeah, that's part of why they do it. But either way, right, that you need some work, even if you're an expert sailor, putting together the boat and all that, that takes some effort, right? For Kislev, there's no barrier like that. You just walk south. So Kislev, especially the northern bits, at any given time probably has just dozens of chaos raiding parties just coming in to try and wreck shop.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is, you know, I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? When you border the, you know, part of the chaos bits of the planet, there's going to be a lot of creatures, like a lot of beastmen. There's a lot of mutated monstrosities up there.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, talk a little more about it, but there's a Skaven settlement up there for the Frankenstein clan, because there's just so much good monster up there. They have a field day having fun with making worse monsters.
Oh.
It's called Hell Pit.
Oh, what a lovely name for a place. Yeah.
But you know, the downside is pretty obvious. You border chaos. It's not good. Mm. At least they had to go through a little bit of space for Cadia, right?
Yeah,
they had to get in a spaceship. No, they don't got to do that. They just kind of walk.
A few light years, whereas like the block over. Like, oh no, it's the Hell Pit. Great.
And that will lead to plenty of destruction and misery and bad crap. Bright side, this has turned Kislevites into damn fine warriors.
Mm-hmm.
In pretty much any regard you could want. Especially, again, once the Ever Chosen gets rolling, that's much like, you know, the Black Crusades in 40K. So whenever Chosen gets rolling, it's really just always just Kislev 1v1ing the united front of all the Chaos Gods and their followers bulldozing in. So they've had
One dude with his shirt off holding a claymore with like blue paint all down his face, shouting with a massive beard and being like, oh, he's kind of tough. Don't like him. He's scary. Even the Chaos Demon. Yeah. Like, oh, that guy's burly. Oh, no.
They've had to get good. And they have. They have in pretty much every way. Kislevite armies are... Which is, again, you know what? We'll go back. This is kind of going to be a little all over episode. Mm-hmm. But you were asking, like, are they main? Because they've got the Total War, but are they not? Are they kind of a background thing? The answer is yes.
Okay.
Whenever Kislev is mentioned, they are without a doubt mentioned as like some of the short of like Chaos Warriors. They're just built differently because they need to be built differently because they border hell.
Mm.
So whenever Chaos invades, whatever army does get to, you know, the Empire and the rest of the world is almost without a doubt significantly weaker than when it started. The flip side is, again, Kislev does get the brunt of the Chaos invasion. Like when it's at the freshest, everyone's raring to go. They've just left the Wastes or Norska or the Realm of Chaos if it's a demon. So usually these kind of things end with Kislev being rather more on fire than it was prior to the Chaos invasions.
Hmm.
But I'll give them credit. They bounce back phenomenally well. Let's get a little bit about the country, right? It is much like every human nation in Warhammer Fantasy. Take ex-Earth cultures and jam them together. This is the Slavic super stew of Warhammer Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that the Total War devs had some fun, and sometimes your warriors will just be squatting on the battlefield if there's no enemy nearby. They're doing the Slav squat.
We have a pint of vodka. Like, lol.
Oh, you say that. There's nothing a Kislevite loves more than a nice bottle of kvass.
Uh-huh.
To the point that even the dwarfs respect their drinking prowess.
Is it perchance a clear liquid that resembles water?
It perchance may be a clear liquid that remembers water.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they love themselves a good drink, which Felix learned the hard way that kvass, yes, that is just vodka you're chugging.
Yeah.
It's a fairly, in comparison to a lot of other of the Warhammer places, it's a very centralized realm. Everything is like based out of Kislev City. And it's all very Slavic. If you take away the S and the L in Kislev, you get Kiev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you haven't noticed, so there's that. Did you know that there's one of the most important cities is just called Prague?
Oh, fair enough.
P-R-A-A-G. It's Prague.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Winged Hussars. And it's just the Winged Hussars.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very pick a Slavic country and throw it together.
Do they do the dance where it's like you bend your knees and you kick them out, like in Team Fortress 2? Do they do that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's confirmed, but I'm assuming that if it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be unheard of if the Kislevites were doing that. And I'm sure if they got to the modern era, if the setting progressed to modern times or an equivalent, there would be the hard base.
Yeah.
It's ruled by. Well, there's some fighting going on over that.
Hmm.
They have a czar,
okay,
or a czarina. Just again, you're really gonna understand what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Who rules over the country? And they historically do a solid job. Again, I feel like you need to give there's like a baseline level of credit everything that Kislev needs to get. Because it's a nation that's held itself together on the footsteps of chaos for a thousand years.
Hmm.
There's a baseline level of competence everyone needs to have to do that, right? You can't be an idiot and live on the Chaos Wastes.
No. I'm assuming they're very serious, very little joviality, very little humor, or maybe gallows humor. Just
You know, actually, some of them, a lot of them are like that, but some of them are pretty jolly. Okay. From Gottrick and Felix book, for example, Old Reliable for references. Ulrika's dad, very like jolly bear of a man. He's like 7 feet tall, about as wide, made out of pure muscle, and you know, he slaps you on the back, shoves a bottle in your hand, and says, "We're gonna drink tonight and have fun."
Mm-hmm.
I would say they've made the best of the region they're in. A lot of them are definitely like that grim, almost Krieg kind of style.
Yeah.
Especially if it's one of those time periods right after chaos is just bulldozed through.
Do some people from Kislev occasionally go like, "I'm getting the hell out of this place. This place sucks. I'm just going to get like further south," or
not too often.
Okay.
Temporarily that will happen. If refugees might need to go to the Empire, if it's one of the really bad chaos invasions and the main cities are burning. But they will, by and large, they're actually quite proud of where they make their home. They view the Empire as weak Southerners who don't know how to properly stand and fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a rivalry, fun little thing. There are sometimes wars, I'm going to be honest, but it's mostly like a fun little like weakling little, let me show you how it's done kind of deal, right?
Mm, yeah.
Zangief show you how to fight. But no, they are actually by and large quite proud of that. And then even in Kislev with the Ungols in the north, that kind of repeats itself. Them calling the Gospodar like the weakling Southerners who've taken to imperial culture too much. It's mostly pretty well. It's ruled by the Tsarina and all the governing bodies below them. It's divided for government purposes into realms called oblasts, which I'm sure that is just some Eastern European languages word for like some governing body, right?
Yeah.
I'm not entitled. I don't think that's completely unique, but I don't speak any of those languages, so I can't confirm.
Hmm.
I'm just looking at the rest of their lore, so I don't want to give them too much credit based off of precedence. you've got the, we'll go down up. Southern Oblast, right? It's the least crap one.
Okay.
No, it's the warmest one, which means it's got the main farming and all the foresting and all that stuff you need. Depending on where you're at, you might even think you're in the Empire. And depending on what moment in the setting's history, that may or may not be true as one of their border wars gets a little bit too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, this is, you know, Kislev's breadbasket area. This is where a lot of trade happens because, you know, it's right next to the Empire and even a couple dwarf places, dwarf realms. It's a solid enough place to live. It's where, again, most of the politics play out. Like, if anyone's coming to visit Kislev, they're going here because this is where Kislev, the city, is located. It's pretty solid.
And looking at the I'm assuming the border that's on this map, it's a bit cut off. I can't see the one that's near Griffin's Wood. But is that like the Empire right there? Are those Empire territories?
Yeah, down there, that's... if you see like that red dotted line, that's the border of the two realms.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Empire.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, Southern Oblast, solid place. It's Warhammer, so, you know, there's beastmen, there's orcs, there's problems, but all things considered, not a bad place to be. Eastern Oblast is very cold. It's mostly a lot of frozen steppes, a lot more dangerous. With a lot of, just a lot more green skin and chaos problems. It's a much rougher place to be. It's a lot more, this is like where the Gospodars and the Ungols are pretty mixed. This is where a lot of that friendship making's going on. It's a good place,
mm-hmm.
at least for that. But it is a very dangerous place otherwise. Just because of the increased level of threat. It's more northern than this isn't like perfect, like, you know, north, south, east, west. You know, it's a country. There's some blurred lines and how the, you know, organizing goes, right? So it does have some problems. It also indeed has the northernmost main city of Kislev, which is that Prague place. It's called the Haunted City.
Oh.
Because one day during one of those ever-chosen invasions, right? The Great War of Chaos, which was the second largest one until Archaon blew up the planet. Prague basically had to be rebuilt from scratch.
Okay.
And it was so corrupted by chaos that they got rid of the worst of it. But there's a lot of people born with just like some kind of mutation. Sometimes ghosts just wander the city, just tormented spirits corrupted by chaos. That's just something that happens. It's just an occupational hazard in the city. It's a lot, like entire regions are still abandoned and they're just like dumpster fires that are also magically corrupted and haunted. It's not great.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the map again, it's like, oh, that's you got all these like cities and it's like in a forest, Kislev City, and then it's like this one's empty. It's like there's a big river going through. And then like as you get to the west, it's just like nothing. It's just barren. So yeah, you can see that Prague's been through it. Bit of a tough time.
Yeah. It should be said that, you know, there's when it isn't, it's one of the main cities of Kislev. So it is very well defended. There's a lot of outlying defenses it has. When it isn't ever chosen season, it's not the worst place to live. It's actually, you know, it's got a big park like in it named after Emperor Magnus the Pious, because he helped kind of clear up the Great War and Chaos. There is a decent amount of trade, you know, a lot of silver, a lot of other like valuable metals. It has its positives. So you say it has its positive. It's just like it's not great. It's still a haunted city. Like there's a lot of chaos, corruption in it still. Just like they try and burn out, and they get a little bit of it. Like they slowly can get a little bit of it, and then another chaos horde invades, and it's like, and we're back to square one. Time to clean it up again.
Yeah.
So it's rough, but it does have, you know, again, another positive. It's kind of where Kislev has its contact with Cathay, with the Silk Road or the Ivory Road, depending on how copyright friendly GW is with history at the moment. It's, you know, it's got some stuff like that. And this place is, for what it's worth, it is a fortress.
Yeah.
Like dwarf rune magic on the cannons, on the walls. It's probably some elf stuff. Just they were like, anyone want to help us hold off chaos? I'm sure some elf at some point was probably invested. Cannons right from the Empire to this is, yeah.
Are other nations quite sympathetic to their plight and give them lots of stuff just for their own like self-interest to be like, hey, we'll give you some guns, we'll give you some stuff, some materials, because we don't want to have to deal with chaos, so you deal with it? Or they kind of dispassionate, like, oh, it's your problem, isn't it? I'll wait till they come to my doorstep.
The Empire and the dwarfs actually do. Because again, they're like, the dwarfs do like Kislev as well. And the Empire is also aware of the fact, like, this is the speed bump for chaos. Let's give the speed bump teeth.
The Empire's like, these are our neighbors. We should be nice to them. And the dwarves like, they can hold that alcohol. Let's give them a hand. Like, nice. Brilliant. Dwarves.
Yeah. It's the city burns down a lot, but they always build it right back up. And it may be haunted, but, you know, they do their best. You know, it's not too bad. I definitely wouldn't want to live here, but it could be worse. Again, there's a lot of entertainment districts in this city, which is, again, a plot point in Gotrek and Felix, as the dwarfs all go to the brothel.
And it's not Skaven Blight, so you're doing pretty well in comparison to that.
No, it's you can always be thankful it's not Skaven Blight. Although that is kind of like the lowest bar to clear.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, there used to be a Chaos God of Law entombed under the city.
A god of
in
law.
A coffin made out of Grommer. Yeah, that was a thing in old fantasy, the Chaos Gods of Law. And then, because of, if my understanding of British copyright law is correct, that was an independent contractor who wrote that for GW, so he got to keep the intellectual property rights.
Yeah.
So GW would have to pay him to use that lady again, so they just decided not to.
Yeah, and that's why there's so many weird retcons or things that are never pursued, because it's like, oh,
yeah.
Why isn't Fulgrim clone coming back? It's like, well, because that's that writer's work, and he doesn't have to be tethered to GW for the rest of his life, so they're just like, oh, just leave it alone, leave it alone. We don't want to pay him any royalties.
Yeah. So, but hey, at some point in Warhammer history, there was a Chaos God just taking a nap, kind of like the lion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's Prague. And the Eastern Oblast is otherwise like a lot of feral regions. There's a lot of witches called hags in Kislev that honestly just picture something called a hag witch. And whatever you come up with in your mind is not going to be that far off the mark.
Hmm.
This is where, fun fact, Baba Yaga lives. Kislev has Baba Yaga.
John Wick.
that would be really funny. I think in older lore, they did just call her Baba Yaga or some very similar name. But now it's Mother Astankia as of Total Warhammer.
Mother
Astankia. But she's Baba Yaga.
Okay.
There's a lot of... haunted forests, some of them chaos related, some of them more like Eastern European folklore, witch haunted forest kind of deal, because in Warhammer sometimes there's just a haunted forest. It's not chaos. It's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here I'll bring it up again for one of the new ones, the next ones. But this is where you start seeing a lot of those little outposts Kislev has. Like in the northern part of their country, they're like fairly isolated, but there's a whole lot of them, relatively speaking, like little outposts, like these watchtowers, fortresses, like mini forts that are the, hey, chaos is a coming, go ward the cities.
Hmm.
So once we get to here, you'll start seeing more and more of those as we go farther north. The Western Oblast is mostly not... not too much in it, except for one important place, the city of Arengrad, which is a trade capital of the old world.
Okay.
It's a very rich place, although, you know, it's built with wood, but
it's not too far from both Kislev and the Empire. It's kind of like equidistant between the two.
Yeah, it's pretty solidly placed, and it's a very cosmopolitan city. It's where a lot of trade is. There's cults to all the different sea gods there. It's actually the only place where Kislevite gods are worshipped in a minority. It's a rich trading city.
Is there some kind of Elder Scrolls shenanigans going on here? Like, is he God? Is he a man who became? Oh, you can't worship him.
not quite that. It's just, you know, there's a, what is it? It's just there's a lot of mixing and matching of cultures in this city because it's the trade capital. So.
Okay.
It's just everyone worships someone different. It's all over the place here.
Okay.
As long as it's not chaos, you can, you know, do what you want.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't have tentacles and like too many eyes, you'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Or Nagash.
Or the big skeleton man himself. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get to the Northern Oblast, which sucks. There's no like major towns like, you know, Prague or Arengrad or Kislev City. It's a whole, even like settlements are rare. It's mostly those like little, either like those fortress camps or tribal, just like nomads. It's mostly just icy steppes and crap wasteland. And, hey, you know, this is where we find that troll country place, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically, Kislev owns it. Theoretically.
Yeah.
In practice, there's a whole lot of trolls and other chaos corrupted monsters and Norskan marauders. And it just sucks. Like anything that is built here really only exists to like act as a speed bump to chaos when they're coming through, right?
It does look like there's a pretty good dwarf presence in the north, though. Like, in the mountains, at least. There's, like, I'm seeing several, like, dwarven heads. It's like, oh, there seems to be, like, a lot of them.
You know, I guess that does bear a little bit of mentioning.
Okay.
Those are the northern, the Norse dwarfs who were cut off from the rest of their kin.
Norse dwarfs, that's cool.
Indeed. They develop, you know, kind of differently, their own traditions. Made some friends with the surrounding Norskins who were not chaos worshippers, because there's a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then they died.
Oh, they're gone.
They got, if I remember correctly, they got murdered in the Great War against Chaos.
Oh.
No more.
That's a shame.
Although I think Thorgrim did grab a couple of them and rescue them, so that's something.
Because I'm not being funny. A Norskan riding a bear cavalry is kind of cool. A Norse dwarf riding a bear would be awesome. I'd pay money to see that.
That would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
But I... You are right. They are there, but they're not there for long.
Oh, poor guys.
They die off.
Yeah.
So Northern Oblast sucks. It's not great. It's just shit. This is like the most stereotypical of the you are the front line against chaos place. It's a lot of like skirmishing forces. And, you know, like with the few, you know, Kislevites that are up here, like their main job will usually be half of you, or like some of you go send message that the problems are coming, and the rest of them will kind of like flank the chaos horde,
you know,
skirmish a little bit, do some harrying tactics, and then run away. And even ignoring Everchosen, there is a constant level of like small grade warfare going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun. Let's see. Religion. Religion's always fun, right?
Okay. If the Black Templars have told us anything, religion is fun. Okay.
Yeah. There's a few different gods they have, and some of this is newer stuff, right? Let's start with the first guy, right? Mm-hmm. We got Ursin. Ursin is the bear god. He's the god of bears and strength, and of course the winter. And I believe it was Total War that made this a thing, but it might have been mentioned before. But I know Total Warhammer was, if not the first, at least the most recent to kind of do it, and it did bring them back into the spotlight. When he roars, it heralds the end of winter.
Okay.
Which at least in Total Warhammer was a problem because he didn't do that for like a decade and everyone was kind of freezing to death.
You reminded me of Game of Thrones. So in like Game of Thrones, their winters can last. They don't last a season. They last as much as several years. Is there any like quirk of Warhammer fantasy seasons where it lasts several years of summer or several years of winter? Or is it literally every year it's the same? Or do we not know?
Well, if Ursin doesn't roar, the winter doesn't go away.
Oh.
And so when Belakor locked him up for a while, that caused problems.
Oh, okay.
But even with that, he's a solid god. He's a pretty cool dude. All around, yeah. He's the national patron. He's their war god as well. Cool dude.
Mm.
Cool dude.
Yeah.
I just quite like this image, so I'm just going to send this to you. Sometimes, you know, at least in Total War, he is just a very big bear, right?
Yep.
Sometimes he's a bear pretending to be a human being, as you'll see in this image.
Wow. Yoked. That guy is yoked. He's like Tarzan's dad. What's going on there?
Yeah. Is he? 100% muscle by volume.
Yeah, it's Liver King without the roids. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. Defends Kislev, lets the winter end, at least when he's able to roar and blow away the winter. He's not the state religion necessarily, but the Kislevites do have, especially with the newer lore, they've gotten a very religious branch, the Great Orthodoxy, who you will properly worship the gods and the spirits. And if you're a wizard, such as that heretic ice witch we have to call our queen, you might get burned at the stake if no one is stopping them.
Oh. And fire's important in Kislev. They're like, we need this. It's for the cause. Like, we really hate you if we're burning you.
Yeah. They, and speaking of, there's the god. It's D-A-Z-H.
D-A-Z-H.
Daz or Daz.
Daz?
Daz. Yeah, it might maybe. Be Daz. He's just he's got a fire and sun and stuff like that, which can fire quite important in Kislev. Mm-hmm. It gets very cold. Tor, T-O-R, thunder and lightning. He's not really, he's one of the big three of the traditional gods, but they don't, there's not too much, he's not too much talked about, to be honest, which is funny because he's supposedly also like the most active one.
Well, you know why? It's because Games Workshop don't want to get sued by everyone who depicts four in any of their stuff. It's like, we took the H out. And it's like, I don't know. I want to get you. I want to sue you.
Yeah, who knows? Or maybe that was that even just that is too much for him.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, Thor's here. Tor. He throws lightning at people. He's a god of lightning and thunder. You can probably figure out.
Does he have a hammer?
He does not, actually. They held off from that one.
The lengths they will get through in order to avoid copyright is astounding.
He does have an axe, though. We're not that far off.
Okay, so he's four, like in four Ragnarok, in Dawn of, God of War Ragnarok, but he stole Kratos' axe. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. He was worshipped by there was once a third group in Kislev called the Robsmen.
Oh.
There was.
Robsmen, okay.
R-O-P-P-S-M-E-N-N.
Oh.
You know, Sigmar didn't like them very much.
Oh. When Sigmar doesn't like you, you don't get to survive. Is that the
thing? Ugh. There's supposedly a couple tribes that still claim to be descended from them, but by and large, Sigmar didn't like them very much.
Mm.
So they might have been unpersoned. That might have happened.
Mm. He's like, excuse me, there's only room for one lightning god, and these guys are also heretics. Yeah. I'm going to put them both to rest at once. I'm going to do a double tap. Get them out of here.
Yeah. Other gods, there is, as I said, though, as much as there is the Great Orthodoxy, there's also in a lot of ways not like one state religion. There's a lot of stuff about worshiping and appeasing even lesser, you know, smaller nature spirits, right? Stuff like that. Plenty of other gods can also be found here, like worship of the god Ulric. There's a lot of him there. Tal, who's a nature god, you can find stuff for him. They're not as commonly worshipped as the main Kislevite gods, but especially the further south you go in Kislev, you're closer to the Empire, so you'll get a good amount of worship of them too. There's a lot of minor deities and stuff that are here. The Great Orthodoxy, though, it's the religious like organization. It's very new, like. Total Warhammer takes roughly in modern Warhammer Fantasy. There's no year timer in it, so you can't get an exact year. But like by the time it shows up, like it's a couple decades old.
Hmm.
It's not around. It gained power pretty quickly. So, you know, there's some heresy accusations that go on and about. But it's trying to become the state religion, right? Like, they're trying to get everyone to follow their word and whatnot. Not too... It depends on where they're at. Kind of successfully, kind of not. That's causing a whole lot of religious problems in Kislev, as all the people who prefer the older styles are potentially being burned at the stake. It's a little bit rough, but such as it is when you invite witch hunters into your country, things will get a little bit rougher. Let's see what else. I feel obligated to mention Winter.
Okay.
General Winter. They call it something else, but I can't. General Winter is what I can't help but think of. You know.
They call it Cross Deaths and of the maybe. Blizzard Kill. There you go.
Yeah. It's brutal. It's much like, you know, don't invade Russia in the winter. Don't invade Kislev in the winter.
Yeah.
You will freeze solid if you walk out too far and you don't know very well what you're doing and you got all the protective clothing, which Kislev does take advantage of because they'll usually, even when Chaos invades, and Chaos comes from the north, so they're used to the cold, but it's really bad in Kislev.
Yeah.
Like, abnormally bad. So they've gotten used to timing their invasions with the winter, raiding during it, planning major attacks right as it's ending when they've had time to scrounge up food and the enemies not had time. They're quite smart with it. Also, they're sometimes ruled by an ice witch, you got to remember. So she could at any moment decide the winter is going to be 10 times worse.
Can you briefly touch upon what an ice witch is? So
I can.
Kind of heretical or
so honorific? If you ask not Rasputin, who leads the Great Orthodoxy.
Oh, of course there's a character called Rasputin. Cool.
Well, he's called Kastaltin, but
right,
if you look at him, he's Rasputin. They are filthy heretical deviants that must be purged.
Right.
They're also, again, that Miska the Slaughterer lady, she was an ice witch.
Yep.
I this is going to be really stupid to say, but I mean, they're ice witches. Like, they're magically gifted women who, they use ice magic, which is its own kind of thing. Still uses winds of magic, but it's its own thing. A lot. It's mostly based a Kislev of magic,
but the winds go before you cast it. That's
the winds go burr. Indeed. Yeah, it's ice magic is very connected to Kislev's land. Their origins are a little unknown, but supposedly there's a goddess called the Widow that used to give them, that in fact gave this Miska the Slaughterer lady the not only the ability to control winter, but told her to go and found Kislev and go kill a whole lot of Ungols. And ice witches since her have been. They've been part of society, and they've got a lot of political sway as very powerful witches. It's slowly diminishing with the Great Orthodoxy and not wanting that heretical magic, but they're...
Are they all like aristocracy, or are they more...
They are, by and large, like aristocracy. And okay. Usually one who isn't, like, from a noble family will in some way be, like, raised up, almost.
Okay.
So you get a pass. The nation does have a ban on men with magic. Wow. So they tend to kill any guys practicing magic, which does usually mean, if you're wondering why there's no male ice wizards, there's a prophecy that one of them is going to, you know, kind of ruin the whole thing for everyone.
Oh.
Which is actually quite similar to why Malekith doesn't allow male elf witches in the Dark Elf lands.
a lot of sorcery misandry going on in the Warhammer Fantasy universe.
I was reading that. It's actually kind of funny. It's like, this is the second time this has happened.
It's like, special boys. We've got to kill the special boys.
I guess if you want to be nice, like, the Kislev one is more so like they're worried, right, where it's like, this guy's going to ruin ice magic for everyone. We can't let that happen.
Yeah.
Whereas Malekith is very much, there's a prophecy that he specifically is going to die. So he's like, oh, no, no.
Yeah.
I'm not letting that one happen. No, thank you. But yeah, they've got a lot of political influence. Again, the most recent times they've been fighting with the Great Orthodoxy, but they've still got, you know, 1,000 years of political power and influence they've entrenched themselves in. So, yeah. And, you know, it's a little bit nice. Any families that have, right, a male magic, like, you know, their son is born a wizard, they'll usually smuggle him off to the Empire.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, send him away far from Kislev and he'll probably be okay.
Yeah. So there's probably a couple, what is it? I'm sure there's a few, right, like male
warlocks.
Ice warlocks or, you know, whatever. But probably not in Kislev because they're usually put to the death.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's could be worse.
It could be in Skavenblight.
Could be in Skavenblight. You can always be thankful for that.
I'm thankful every day when I wake up in the real world that Skavenblight is fictional. I'm like, that's good.
Yep, I'm quite happy. That way. Although, I don't know about under New York, under those subways, I wouldn't be surprised.
New York. Concrete dungeon. Yeah. Oh, it's Skaven.
Oh, geez, I don't know. My brain just kind of turned off for a bit there. Pardon me. The ice, like, there's not always necessarily with Kislev, like, an ice witch leading, but it does tend to, you know, happen. For example, like, this is perhaps the most good. There was a guy whose name was Tsar Boris Baka.
Boris Boka. Okay.
Yeah. He did a lot of, you know, he was after the Great War Against Chaos. He did a lot of reforms and kind of strengthened the country's politics and made it an absolute monarchy and all that, you know, stuff like that. Got rid of some of the feudalism, did all that Peter the Great stuff. And then, you know, we have Tsarina Katerin, who is an ice witch and the Tsar. So it's not always an ice witch in charge, but it does tend to, you know.
It gives you some credibility to be like, hey, we were founded by an ice witch. Ice witch is a strong. She's kind of pretty.
Yeah, it does tend to give you some amount of like a sway, you know. And also, I'm sure, you know, something frozen, let it snow joke.
Yeah.
That seems almost obligatory, you know. But yeah, so that's, you know, ice witches. I mean, their ice witch is fun too. Fun fact, Grimgor Ironhide once bulldozed his way through Kislev.
Okay.
And then Tsarina Katerin, instead of fighting, right, just said, I'm just going to freeze the entire countryside solid until you go away.
Well, that's always the best way to get rid of an orc. It's like, don't fight them, delay them, and they'll get bored. And
I mean, together. It worked. He did eventually go away because all of his, all of his army kept turning into orcsicles.
Oh, no.
Except for his boys, the immortals, and himself, of course. But yeah, he did try and invade Kislev, but they just went home. He did brutalize them in combat first, though, you know, of course. But yeah, no, it was
Yeah.
It's that is part of a major part of their military strategy. Go, it's cold now. Please go away. Which, you know, when you're controlled by an ice wizard, it does work. What are some other bangers? Like I said, they don't have presently an army. I'm hoping they get one. I'm really hoping they get one because that'd be cool. I mean, like you said, they have bear cavalry. But yeah, Kislevite soldiers tend to be. I'll have to be going off a Total War for this because again, there's no army I can draw from the tabletop.
So they don't have a tabletop army itself. They just have bits.
Not at present. No, they don't even really have bits anymore. Again, like that War Master in the old model days. That was a while ago. But that being said, they do have a pretty unique army. It's very hybrid. So your average Kislev person, right? He doesn't just have a spear or an axe or a bow. He's usually got like a melee weapon and a ranged weapon. So like, you know, the basic ones, they've got a bow, one hell of a bow, you know, a spear or an axe to cut you or poke you or whatever with. Scale it up. Usually, at least for the basic troops of the army, even the more elite ones, this is pretty consistent. They just might have a gun and a sharper axe or a bigger axe if you get to the big boys.
I'm guessing Kislev aren't too big on gunpowder because maybe it's difficult to like procure and maintain and stuff.
They do need to get a lot of it from the Empire through trade.
Yeah.
They do make use of it. Like there are a good amount of Kislev units that do have guns, so they do make use of it when they can. But you know, depending on the attitude, you might get the classic weakling Southerner need gun.
Yeah,
just beat man to death.
I'm gonna eat raw meat and headbutt them to death. Like, yep,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, or some of the times it is just more of like that practical. Like, we'd love to use more cannons. We cannot afford them.
Well, I'm just thinking
we
like,
can't make the gunpowder much.
Dragging the cannons through the snow would suck. Anytime the ice melts, it makes the gunpowder wet. Like, that would be a nightmare keeping all of the logistics in place, which is something I think people don't realize with like war. It's like, it's not just top trumps where it's like who's shooty bang bang the best. It's also like kind of like what you alluded to with like the Russian front of World War II, where it's like the Germans had, for example, in like even in the Battle of the Bulge, they had really good winter gear and they were very difficult to get out of their encampments because the Americans did not have as good winter gear and they were suffering from trench foot and shivering all day in foxholes. And then it's like, if you have like the gear, that's one thing. But if you have a tank, you also need to have the fuel for the tank. And if the fuel freezes, you need to thaw it. And if you have to thaw it, that wastes time. And there's all these things that people don't think about.
Yeah.
It's like, even with gunpowder, that's such a finicky technology. But yeah.
Yeah. It's rough. they have a... So that, like they, yeah, like you said, they do use it when they can. Just there's not nearly as much of it to go around. They do make up for it with a lot more ice magic. That's helpful. Mm-hmm. But then they have their various other like more unique units. Like they've got the horse archers and stuff. They of course have the winged lancers. I know what you are. The winged hussars were for a brief moment, the fiercest cavalry unit around.
Mm-hmm.
Before gunpowder kind of made that not mean anything, right?
Yeah.
But winged hussars give one hell of a charge. And if you don't like the horses, well, they have bear cavalry. Magical ice bear cavalry, of course.
Mm.
One of the monstrous units they have is just, it's a big frozen bear. Like the size of a house.
Oh, why is it frozen?
Because ice magic bear.
Oh, okay. So this is like Enchanted.
It's I've seen The Revenant. That bear, that bear could give even Scarbrand some trouble. It's a really big bear.
Yeah.
I forget the name of them. They're like forest monster demon things, right?
Okay. Like a four?
They're mostly used like a lot of by the hags, Mother Astakia particularly. But I'll send you an image.
Okay.
If you piss off the wrong person, that might get thrown at you.
That is, that's a fawn on steroids, that is. What is that?
I promise you, it's not a demon.
Yeah? Not with the glowing eyes and mouth and runic sigils and like gemstone carved into its heart. That looks kind of...
No, please, this is Warhammer Fantasy. Sometimes there's just normal magical monsters like that.
Okay.
It's not a demon. But it is horrifying.
Yeah.
I always like when something like that gets, like, the special rule, like, causes terror. Like, yeah, I don't think you needed to tell me that. I think I could take that one on faith. It's like, I didn't need to be told that thing is scary, I promise you. Here's a little fun fact. It's not their military, but they have a group called the Czechists that are the secret police of the government. And this might be up there for one of Warhammer's most unoriginal things, because you know what the Czechists were?
Right.
They're just the pre-KGB.
Okay.
They're just the original Soviet secret police.
Okay.
Kislev has that. So right. That's fun. I would be nice when in Kislev, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might get a visit from the friendly neighborhood, not KGB, if you might be doing a little bit of heresy.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry, Andy. They never convict the wrong people.
Never. Not once.
Never.
Not a single, just like in real life, secret police never do anything wrong.
No. Clearly, comrade, this was an enemy of the state in the making.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if they weren't yet.
He went against the party lines and, yeah, heresy, but...
Yeah, and it's exactly...
Have some vodka, it'll be okay.
Have vodka, comrade. Don't ask about your neighbor.
A
you never
water.
Had a neighbor.
That's the term, isn't it? It's vodka, it's water, ka, and ka is little. So it's a little water.
Yeah, little water. Yeah, no, and the government, of course, rejects any indication that they're monitoring foreign countries or that they might be just around the corner. You know, they're such as rumors and slander against the party, comrade.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, it's just
it's so on the nose, funny. Isn't it?
Yeah. What other like little bangers do we have? Do you have any other questions? There's a couple smaller things I wrote throughout. I'm trying to pull up.
So this might be I'm treading on thin ice here with you. With regards, because they're obviously the first line of defense, you'd assume they'd get demolished and then not be able to fight the rest of the setting. How do they factor into things like the end times?
Well, in the end times, they basically died off screen.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
Usually, like, they'll burn down the city, and then Kislev will promptly rebuild it once the invasion is dealt with. And after the city burned down, like, Kislev will usually spend the rest of the invasion with whatever forces it has left, just harrying or maybe uniting with the Empire and fighting them together or doing, like, flanking. They're like a semi background where they're important, and there's a decent amount of lore, but at the same time, like, nothing compared to anyone like the major factions.
They're like the French,
at least certainly,
like,
not the Empire.
They're important, but like it's like everyone's like America, UK, important countries. Ha 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 ha. But no, it's like, because the only thing is, also they have, like, am I right in thinking that they have a very large chaos contingent where the Screamy Man is the guy in charge of their, like, chaotic, like, war band, and I saw an animation on Warhammer TV where it's like a bunch of Kislev guys turning to chaos, and they all, like, integrate forest entities or some such into, like, their like, I don't know how to describe it, but, like, what I remember of the animation, it was like a guy and he had a brother and they were fighting in a big forest and chaos was happening, and they were just kind of like, beats dying, I guess I'll be chaotic, I guess.
There's definitely a couple, like, keys to lights that do turn to chaos. That's indeed the plot of Total Warhammer 3's narrative campaign.
Oh.
It doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. It was like, even on Cadia, like, there'd be passages where it's like, yeah, we got a bunch of chaos cults. We're 5 feet from the Eye of Terror. Of course they exist.
Yeah. Or there's a poor bunch of beast men on Terror during the Siege of Terror who defect because it's like, we're always mistreated. Fine. We are chaos. And then we'll be purged from the setting like everyone else who's a beastman. Ah, oh, poor fellas.
There's definitely a couple people who get sick of being the speed bump of chaos and decide to join chaos.
Hmm.
That does happen every now and again. That definitely does. And as for the country itself, like, I mean, so they burn down, but they're very good at rolling with the punches. You burn down their, like, little wooden fortress, they put it right back up and tell you to come for round two. And it was that for 1,000 years until the world blew up. Kislev supposedly has never fallen, although that's very funny because in both Storm of Chaos and the End Times, Kislev's lore was Kislev has fallen. F's in the chat. unfortunate. But no, they put up a good fight. They deserve some credit for what they do. They do good work.
Hmm.
I guess one other fun fact is that... I forgot her name. Mishenka Romanov.
Oh, a Romanov?
Of course it is.
In a Russian, partially Russian-inspired setting? No, not a... Surely not.
Shocker.
There's on the nose, and then there's pulling the nose off.
That.
Yeah. Wow.
She... What do you call it? She was in charge during she's in charge during the old world, right? And she's there's not been much about Kislev, unfortunately. Come on, insulin pump, you can do it. Pardon me.
It's okay.
There's not much on her, but she's basically trying to get that centralization going, and also trying to figure out how to make the Empire behave, because as the person who's on the borders of the Chaos Wastes, she can tell that something's a brewing, because right after the Old World's time period, and maybe it'll continue on into it, is the Great War Against Chaos. So she's looking north and going like, oh, there's problems coming. And then she looks south and we get the Age of Three Emperors, where the Empire was divided into, you know, three.
Mm-hmm.
So she's looking south like, I really need you all to behave right now. I really need you to stop pitching a fit.
Yeah.
And help me get ready. So, I don't know what happens to her, because I'm fairly certain she is like from the old world and there's not been much development. But she's got the last name Romanoff, so I'm going to make some assumptions.
Okay. Yeah. Rasputin fella might be involved partially.
I have some ideas.
Okay. I'm assuming Kislev aren't active in Age of Sigmar.
No. There weren't any, like, at least in 8th edition, there weren't any Kislev minis to be, like, put into the cities of Sigmar. It's like the old, you have war, we had fantasy minis still in stock army, right? Like, there weren't Kislev minis, so they didn't get to be. And either way, like, there's not really any one country, like, none of the realms survived. Like, even, you know, the High Elves of Age of Sigmar, that's not the High Elves, like, kingdom and Ulthuan continued. That's just the High Elf equivalent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, no, there is no Kislev in Age of Sigmar. Now, granted, I'm sure you could find some equivalent in, like, just some book or story or codex entry or something. Like, I'm sure that exists.
Mm.
There's wintry places in the mortal realms. Like, I'm sure if you want, you can flavor your cities of Sigmar army around Kislev. Like, I can't imagine it'd be hard to justify that.
Mm.
But no, there is no Kislev. And to my knowledge, I don't think there's even been like any Kislev characters like Stormcastified.
It's such a strange decision because, like, and again, I know Total Warhammer is not Games Workshop. I know Creative Assembly are not the guys who drive Warhammer by any means, but they're kind of the custodians of fantasy. And to have them as like a POV, like main drive of the premier gaming series for your franchise, and then just be like, oh, they're gone now. Like, what? They had bear cavalry. What do you mean they're gone? That's the coolest thing ever.
That's another thing. It's like, I don't know why they weren't just launched a lot sooner. Like, it took Cathay this long. And I mean, I actually just checked right now. This is the first time, legitimately, I'm looking at the web store right now. This is the first time I've not seen half of what you can buy for Cathay sold out.
I mean, Cathay is cool. They got the jade statues and everything, but I'm like, bear cavalry, bro.
Yeah, I don't know why we don't have that yet. It seems like such an easy slam dunk.
Yeah. And then you could have like a platoon of like infantry guys doing the kind of the crab sit or crouch sit or whatever you call it, with like with like a bottle of what's it called, kvass, and then and then like maybe with like an Adidas style uniform, and it'd be perfect, you know.
Yeah,
10 million sold, everyone loves it.
Yeah, I don't know why we don't have none of that. You think it'd be so easy, but you know. Maybe one day.
Hmm. I mean, because I'm pretty sure that Eastern Europe loves Warhammer. Like, I one of the reasons I have like so many subtitles from like Poland and, you know, Russia and such stuff like that is like there's like a substantial amount of people in Eastern Europe who I guess resonate with Warhammer content and think it's really cool. And yet, like, the premier representation for them. It's just like, it's cool in the trailers for the Total War games, and yet, like, do they even have any books?
Not many. They do have, I just double pulled it up. I'm double checking now, and I think I'm unfortunately correct. They've got a Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay supplement, which is fun.
Yeah.
Like, I do like that. It's a good read. It's called The Realm of the Ice Queen. Good stuff. Good stuff. There's something called, it's called The Ambassador, which is it's by Graham McNeil. Mm-hmm. I've not read it, actually. But it is, it's an Empire general who's sent to be like an ambassador to Kislev, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I don't really think they got anything. And I have a feeling, because I'm looking, right, I'm on the Black Library web store, right?
Yeah.
The recommended books are an Empire book.
Oh.
A Wood Elf book and a High Elf book.
How did that happen? What?
So I'm getting the sinking suspicion that if there were more Kislev books, it'd be recommending me them.
Yeah, that's so strange. I mean, what?
They're very much, like I said, like, they're a prominent background faction. You can find a decent amount of stuff on them. They get mentioned pretty regularly in other books. Not a lot of stuff focused on in Kislev.
Ugh. They got Batarian'd, which is a species in Mass Effect where you meet them in the first game as a terrorist cell. Good first impressions. And then, like, by the third game, they're in the direct line of the Reaper Advance. So it's like, oh, their homeworld was completely destroyed, and now all their people are dead. You're like, oh no.
That sucks.
Oh. And to be fair, shitty people. Like, oh, there's a reason you don't meet a single female Batarian in the whole series, because they're not treated well. And they also have slaves. So not great people, but...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so, like, pretty scummy, but also they got killed off screen at the beginning of Mass Effect 3. Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
That's a shame. Keith, I've got the
same thing. Yeah, there's not much, which is unfortunate.
Mm.
It's like I said, prominent background. You can find a lot of bits and blurbs about them. They show up pretty frequently. Not much in the way of, like, directly, hey, here's this, you know?
Hmm.
And if you'd like, you can buy the Realm of the Ice Queen fantasy roleplay supplement for $130 on Amazon.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Not fun.
Yeah.
No.
I am glad some Kindle alternatives exist, or Audible, because otherwise I would not be able to do what I do, because it's just, oh, this book is quite old. How much is it on eBay? £75. Oh.
Yeah. Alternatively, look up Realm of the Ice Queen PDF.
Oh, that works. Okay, right.
As I've done.
Good watch, good read.
let's see, really quick, any other questions? I'm going to try and see.
So are there any prominent characters other than Serena? Like, I know the Ice Queen Lady is important. Are there any others who are like, I assume they have like legendary lords in Total Warhammer.
Yeah, there is Kestalten. There's he's the other guy. He's the head of the Great Orthodoxy.
Okay.
And it almost seems like they don't know what they want out of him, because in some of like the cutscenes of the game, he's got this very like educated, regal almost voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you click on him in the game, and he's kind of a raving madman. Yeah.
And he's the only other character.
No, there's like some of those other background characters, like Miska the Slaughterer.
Oh yeah.
No, she's there. There's not as many, which is unfortunate. But there's Igor the Terrible.
Igor, nice.
He helped save Kislev from chaos invasions. He was also paranoid and cruel and insane.
Kind of like another guy called the Terrible.
Where could this guy's inspiration be from?
He had a name that began with I and it had two syllables. I wonder who it could have been.
This is a...
There was a good animation about him. Tearing his family apart.
There's Boris Ursus.
Okay. It's me, Boris, not Horace. Yeah.
Boris. He was the czar before Katerin. Mm-hmm. And indeed, he's her dad.
Yep.
His lore is... So he wanted to be a priest for the cult of Ursin, right?
Yeah.
To do that, you need to go into the forest and tame a bear.
Oh.
So he tried wrestling it, which for what it's worth, no one won the wrestling fight. They couldn't do it. They just kept bleeding each other out.
Hmm.
This caused a pack of wolves to attack them that he helped drive them off, and then the bear kept him safe after he passed out. And now they're buddies, and he rides the bear into battle.
Mm-hmm.
Its name is Erskine.
Erskine. Nice.
Yeah. He's a... You know, he was a solid enough czar. He did cool things. He brought Ursin back into more popularity. Good for him. He helped unify Kislev a bit, pull it back from being a little bit of a bit of a sticky spot it was in. And then he did get lost. Which, depending on the lore you're reading, if it's Total Warhammer, he was frozen in a block of ice and freed. And I believe in the end times, some dude just killed him.
Oh, how anticlimactic. That sounds like a GW plotline.
Yeah. Boris.
Boris. Yeah, I mean, it is very cliche in some regards, this faction. So you've got Boris and Ivan and Rasputin kind of guy and Prague. But I wish they'd have, like... I know Total Warhammer has already done a lot of heavy lifting with Cafe. I guess they couldn't really do much more with them because they've already kind of given it a shot. They had them in like the launch trailer. They had the whole narrative campaigns with the games. And it's like, what else do you do from there? Like, you've already put in so much work and effort. It hasn't necessarily paid off. There's no model range for them. There's no books for them. Where do you go from there?
I wonder why, too, because Kislev already existed, right?
Yeah.
And Cathay did, too, but not nearly as much as Kislev. You'd think it'd be a lot easier to do the work with Kislev.
Yeah. And yeah, they just had bare cavalry, and they went, there's nothing in it. It's like, what do you mean? But even that, yeah, you could have, like, you know, in, like, Elder Scrolls, you've got those, like, kind of wraith, ice wraith creatures. You could have those as miniatures.
Yeah.
You could have a bunch of cool stuff. You could have little tunneling guys. It's like, they don't survive well in like the surface, but maybe you have some subterranean forces that can burrow up
stuff
and then
like that.
Disappear. You could have weevils or ferret creatures.
You do a whole lot of things.
Yeah. And they're like, nah.
It is rather unfortunate that we don't have more. What we have is quite cool.
I guess that the elves have a claim on deer and things with antlers, but like you could have yeti stuff. You have like snowy stuff. Penguin militia, that would be fun. Ice stuff. Polar bears. I could see it working.
It could work.
Archeon, as we know, is also terrified of penguins. So to have a penguin regiment, and that would destroy his armies very quickly in short order.
I mean, and it's a shame too, because like Total War's narrative campaign was focused on Ursin the bear god.
Yeah. And where did that go? Nowhere.
Well, it was the narrative Total Warhammer campaign, so no one liked it, and we played the big everyone map instead, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, is there anything else we need to cover on Kislev, or have we more or less done the gamut?
I think that's the gist of it. Yeah, they get attacked by Chaos a lot. They always bring it back. Don't piss off the Czechists.
Nope.
Yeah. It's a brutal, it's a harsh wintry land, but you know, it could be worse.
Hmm.
Could be worse.
Yeah. And is there here's a question. Does Nagash or the undead factions have any, because I'd assume there must be like a lot of dead people buried under the snow. Like surely there's like a whole bunch of people you could be like, ah, they're quite strong and burly corpses. We could rise them up. They'd be quite good. Or is it just too difficult to get to?
It's hard to get to. Like the Empire, usually the vampire counts themselves are focused on Sylvania.
Mm.
Kislev had already died off screen by the time Nagash was really doing much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that didn't happen. And I imagine if nothing else, right, like it's cold. Rigor mortis is going to make moving those zombies a real pain.
Yeah. And we've already got White Walkers in Game of Thrones, so that's copyright infringement. I see how it is. I see where it's going. But yeah, I guess if there's nothing else, then I suppose that was our episode on Kislev.
It's just about Kislev.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shame that they haven't got what they deserve. I think they deserve, but maybe in the future.
I think they should get some more. It is a shame that they don't have it.
Maybe Age of Sigmar can bring some Bear Cavalry back, and that would be nice.
Even in just that form, if it's just a model for Cities of Sigmar, that is the easiest slam dunk, and I don't know why they've not done it.
Have a Stormcast riding a bear in like snowy colors, maybe with some like a Russian Fabergé egg in his hand or something. I don't know. Give it a go. Give it a bash. See how it goes.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kislev, if you want to know about Kislev, play Total Warhammer. But either way, I hope you guys enjoyed this little festive episode of Fantasy Fireside. We'll be back in the new year to talk about some other factions. So please let us know in the comments if there are any particular factions you'd like us to cover in Fantasy Fireside with Warhammer factions. I think there's still quite a good spread of them remaining. I know there's things like we've done some elves, some dwarves. We've done a little bit of the human factions, etc., ogres, etc. But there's still a lot to cover.
There's still a good bit. So yeah, let us know what you want, and I will get on it.
Hmm. But either way, thank you, Colin, for doing the research and helming this episode. And we'll catch you all on the next one.
Have a good one, fellas. Take care.